We are grateful for the opportunity to come and share this evening with you. We've been looking forward to come, and I appreciated the enthusiasm of your pastor, Pastor Turton, because he has been contacted our office for a year, and it's good to know that you are wanted. We praise God for that, for this opportunity to come. And we have been friends with Reverend Alf Rees for many, many years, and so it seems to us that we have known Missionary Church for a while, and so it is good for us to come here. We come from Indonesia. It's the fifth largest nation in the world. The size of Indonesia is almost like the size of Canada. The only difference is we have more water, and you are blessed with more land in this country. And the Evangelical Theological Seminary of Indonesia was started in 1979, a year after I finished the study from Dallas Seminary. I went home and, by the grace of God, implemented the project that God has given to us. God's given vision to us. We have done this based upon the motivation that the scripture has given to us. As Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 to 14, he says, For this gospel which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwelt in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. This is the main motivation why we have that seminary with that kind of objective and structure and design. It is not because we want to be different from other theological school and public colleges. It is because we live in a country where the majority of the people have not had the privilege to hear the gospel in a clear manner, which is in Indonesia. In Indonesia, English is not spoken there. Very few people speak English, and I'm considered the better ones. But still you will hear I used broken English because it's not spoken there. And your language is the most difficult language in the world. I praise God because I had the opportunity to study 10 years, formal study of your language. But still, it is difficult. When I went home, I go home, I put the language on the shelf, and I pick it up again by the time I begin to think of traveling again to speak like this. So you should hear me preaching the first week when I arrived. I mean, you couldn't understand some of the words I'm trying to communicate, but I think it's good. Also, sometimes you have to pay double attention. In some places, some people put their ears like this to try to catch what I'm trying to communicate. Yeah, what we want to say here is that our God is a great God. He's alive. He's mighty God. He's in control of human history. As Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, the king's heart is like channel of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. In essence, that verse says that whatever situation and condition we found ourselves, plenty of difficulties, pressures, physical harassment, mental pressure, losing a position, our own condition in ourselves. Sometimes we feel that maybe God is tired, but he's not. He's alive. He's at work. His program continues to move. And he is accomplishing his program of building his church in our time today. And exciting things are happening because the king's heart is like channel of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Many Hindus are coming to Christ. Many Muslims are coming to Christ. Many Buddhists are coming to Christ. Many communists are coming to Christ. And because God is alive, his power can break open the heart of men and women even if they have hardened their heart for the gospel, yes, his power can break them open for the gospel. We come from Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world, actually. The law of the nation is not based upon Quran, the law of Islam, no. The law of the nation is based upon constitution of the country. But still, majority of the people there are Muslims. 150 million people are Muslims. And you put together Muslims in Indonesia, the number is still larger than total Muslim population in the Middle East. But yes, there are not so many wars in Indonesia, not so many tension out there. Someone have said this is the most peaceful Islamic country in the world. That is why you haven't heard much about our country. A country with 20 million people sometimes is well known much more than a country like ours, because there are not so many war and tension in my country. We praise God for that. God is at work in my country. That's why the law of the nation is structured as such to give freedom of religion. Five religions become national religions. Islam, number one. Christianity, which means Protestantism, number two. Catholicism, number three. It means that if you are a Catholic, you are not a Christian. That's the law. I don't design it. The law defines it for us. And number four, Hinduism, and number five, Buddhism. These are all national religions with the same equal rights and responsibility in the nation. So Christians can become Muslims, and Muslims can become Christian too. But usually Muslims are becoming Christian. Sometimes when one Christian becomes Muslim, it becomes a big news in the country. But if thousands and thousands of Muslims are becoming Christian, we keep quiet about it. Because that's what I call low-key approach to evangelization of the nation. And many Muslims are coming to Christ. And we have come forward as products of mission. And this is exciting. You know what? 70% of Christians who live in our world today are living in what's so-called mission field in the past. They are the products of mission. I came to Christ in a church where the missionaries work in a hospital, near the hospital. Because we are the product of mission, we have come forward and saying to the church, okay, Muslims, you are expelling our missionaries from the West, but you forget that we are there. We will be there to continue the task that God has given to his church. Paul says, for this gospel, I'm appointed to preach. And I do believe that one single most important, one most important responsibility of the church today is the evangelization of the lost. And we praise God. Because 70% of all Christians in our world today are living in mission field, in the mission field. You know what tells me about this figure? It tells me that your prayers have been answered. It tells me that your sacrificial giving for missionary work have been answered by God. You have continued as a missionary church. The name itself explained to us clearly. I don't know the inside, but by the name I can tell this is a church that is sold out to missionary program. But sometimes you begin to wonder. You pray, you give, you send your men and women, you begin to wonder what is the result of all these things that I have been doing for years and years. Ladies meeting, you pray and pray and pray. What's the result? Well, you have seen some slight pictures, I know. But come to us and talk to us. We're real. We are the product of mission. And we praise God because 70% of Christians in our world today are living in what so-called mission field. That means that the government of the world can do whatever they want to do. But the church is going to continue to grow, because the product of missions are plenty, and your prayer has been answered, your sacrificial giving have been given reward by God, and now he's raising up men and women, native, national, like their own people, to go out and reach them with the gospel. I trusted Jesus when I was 19. I went to preaching immediately because I didn't know you have to go to Bible school before preaching. But 2 years later, a deacon in our church came and said, Chris, I have heard you preaching. I think you need to go to Bible college. I decided at the time I don't like deacons. but I couldn't sleep, you see. He said that I thought I was preaching my heart out, and he rebuked me. So, but I couldn't sleep. Finally, the next fall, I ended up in the Bible College. And I was there, they asked me to pastor a small church. The church grew very fast. In 5 years, over 300 Muslims became Christian. It clicked to me suddenly. Yes, the task that God has given to his church is possible to be accomplished in our lifetime. So I begin to pray, Lord Jesus, Indonesia for Christ in this generation. Because I do feel that we are appointed as church to do one most important thing to God, which is to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to every single soul in our lifetime, in our countries, in the world. And we have, God has given to us plenty of manpower to accomplish the task in almost every country in the world. Even though they rejected missionaries in every country in the world, you have Christians already there being planted by God through the effort of the missionaries. Praise God. He is alive. He's at work. He's continued to work. So don't begin to decrease your effort to be a part of the missionary program because it's seemingly becoming difficult and difficult all the time. He's at work. The growth is moving forward. The church is moving forward. And you need to rise up. We need to rise up in this generation to be a part of his program, this exciting program of God in our time. Well, the church grew and over 300 people, we didn't have any more space to sit. I was 26 years old at the time. I thought it's crazy, you know, seeing many Muslims came to Christ. And so we tried to expand the building, but we didn't have money. So I divided the leaders at the church to 5 groups, 7 each group. They go to 5 directions throughout the week. And 2 years later, 5 churches were planted. And those 5 churches, the members consist mostly from Islamic Muslim converts. God is alive. The king's heart is like channel of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes, in spite of the difficulties. His spirit is moving. Why not rise up from where you are? In spite of your complexity of your problem, rise up and take part. Be in the front line of the action of world evangelization today through your prayers, through your financial giving, and through your going if God wants you to go. Paul says that he has appointed us to declare the good news. The church is appointed for such a task. I came to the United States after that experience, came to study in the United States, and I had only one dream, Indonesia for Christ, in this generation. Well, didn't know how to go about it. But I had some experience, background experience. So when I was studying in the United States, I put the map of Indonesia at my table. And you see that country is large as Canada. But if you put it in a map, it became very small. Very small. There are 3,000 occupied islands. 13,567 islands, according to Reader Digest. We trust Reader Digest because we don't have time to count the islands. But the government says that there are 3,000 islands. And so even though 3,000 islands stretch as wide as Canada, you put the one corner to another corner, you go home and take a thread, it's from Victoria to Newfoundland, the same size, same width. Big, but we feel that people live in 3,000 islands and it's difficult. There's some of the islands are very small. 185 million people live there, located in 67,000 villages. These people speak over 600 tribal languages. It's difficult. It's seemingly impossible to accomplish the task. But when I was in Dallas studying, I used to weep over the map, praying, asking God, give us ways to evangelize the nation, the whole nation. I used to dream Indonesia for Christ in this generation. That's my prayer all the time when I was a young preacher in Indonesia. I came to study and I began to think about it. Lord, give us ways You are great God who is in control of human history. You can do it. You can accomplish the task. Help us. Give us ways. And finally, the vision arrived. And it is called Indonesia 111. That means planting one church in every one village in one generation. Why one generation? Because I do believe, according to the study of the scripture, that every Christian is responsible for the lost souls in his and her generation. And as Indonesian Christian, even though I came from very low, humble background, from a very remote island, a small village, no higher education at all in my place, but I feel that as an Indonesian Christian, I'm responsible for all lost souls in my country. Mind you, we're talking about Muslims who used to resist, who like to resist Christianity, who has established argument, settled to reject Christianity and the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are responsible. We are appointed as church to declare the good news to every single soul, lost soul, in our generation. So the vision came, Indonesia 111. So we want to ask you to pray for Indonesia 111. Give us 10 seconds a week. You have a lot of things to pray for. Continue to pray for those things, ladies' meetings, your husband, your wife, your children, your pastor, your program. Pray for all those things. But could you give us 10 seconds a week, Indonesia, 10 seconds a week? And we're asking you to come to the presence of the Lord saying, Lord Jesus, grant us Indonesia 111. Amen. You don't need to explain it because I did. And also we have a master plan, so we keep revising it year after year. So all you do, all we're asking from you is that you rally in the throne of grace, begging us, asking God to grant us Indonesia 111. One church, every one village, but do it in one generation. We started the design from 1975. One generation is 40 years. We will end the program in 2015. So we have about 25 years to go. So if you continue to pray, Indonesia, give us, grant us, oh Lord, Indonesia 111 for 25 years, yes, we'll get there. We'll get there. I didn't know how many villages are there in Indonesia when the master plan was designed. I mean, the map was getting smaller in my table, so, you know, it's almost like you can embrace the whole nation easily. But I didn't know that how many villages were there. And I think it's good not to know everything. If you know so much, you become so smart. And even sometimes you tell God what to do, and you chicken out before you even start it. Yeah, chicken out is American slang. I studied there 7 years, so that's why I was influenced. My son was with me, and I call him that he has been completely hamburgerized, because you know, every time he want to eat, even for his birthday, he asks for hamburger, really hamburgerized. So forget that part. Forget about it. So when I was there studying there, you know, designed this master plan, didn't know how many villages are there. When I got home, finishing my dissertation, doctorate, went home, you know, was very excited about it, and I found out 67,000 villages located in 3,000 islands. People speak over 600 tribal languages. And you're talking about 83% of total population Muslims. Impossible. It's impossible. But you know, you have a doctorate, you cannot retreat, you know, people will. So I was a little bit embarrassed. I begin to pray. And we move on. Well, let's move till the end and let's see what God will do with it. By faith, moving on. Surely enough, we started the school in 1979. Over 100 apply. We admitted 71. 51 young people, 20 pastors studying part-time. And at the chapel, The first week, we had a revival meeting. I preached all the way, just to make sure everybody heard me loud and clear. You cannot graduate from this seminary unless you plan a church consists of 30 baptized believers. So there was a little confusion because some student quit very early and transferred to another Bible college and seminary because there was no requirement like that in other places. Well, I knew that it's going to be created problem. But you see, we have the vision from God, planting one church every one village in one generation. So we ask question, how do you get there? To get there, you have to produce leaders who are excited about planting churches. So in order to do that, you give a requirement. Even though it's not existed in other countries, other schools, well, I don't care. I'm sorry. What I'm saying is I move along because we have an objective to reach. And amazingly enough, the first year, 27 churches were planted. So the thing began to change. Only 35 graduated. Out of 71, 3 years later, only 35 graduated. The other have to delay graduation because they haven't planted a church. There was student with all A's, A straight. He came to us and said, this is all A straight. Bible, theology, practicals, all A straight. Why I'm not graduating? We go back again to the requirement. You cannot graduate unless you plan a church. It took him 7 years to graduate, but finally he graduated. You see, because this is directed toward a task that God has given to us. Paul says that we are appointed as a church. We exist on this planet Earth as church for one important task that God wants to do in this world, namely the evangelization of the world, to declare the good news. 11 years has passed since the seminary started. Over 600 churches have been planted in Muslim villages. Nearly 40,000 new converts through the students' ministries alone. And 95% of them have come from Islamic background. 425 students have graduated from the school. Today, we have all together, all program, we have 832 students at the school now. Even 90% of those students are supported from inside Indonesia. What happened was this. When we started the school in 1979, 71 students, 90% were supported from outside through Partners International, because we need sponsor for them so that they can plant churches. But today, literally, pastors brought their young people to study with us. At the beginning when we started, I thought the student body will decrease, because by the time young people know that the requirement for graduation is strict, planting a church, maybe not so many will come to the school. But it increased. And now we have 800 the students. So pray for us. That means that 800 new churches will be planted in years to come. And we will admit more and more, because one student may mean one church. Exciting, isn't it? Pray for us. We declare the good news together. I come to the conclusion. It's exciting. However, the exciting things that God is doing in the world today should be responded strategically by God's people. And the most important strategy is to go back to the design that God has done for us. In Ephesus, for instance, the scriptures speak about us, all of us, as one new man, one body in Christ, one family of God, fellow citizens with the saints, and also temple. I think that explains that we are one in Christ as a family. So we can dream of evangelizing the world in our time as a family. And Indonesia 111 can be reached only, this is my conviction, if we do the job together. I'm not naive to say that Indonesian Christian will accomplish it. No, we have to do it together. That is why there are 19 missionaries from outside Indonesia working with me in this program. because we feel that we need to proclaim together as the family of God. Well, of course, the government is expelling missionaries, but you know, I went to the government and asked for visa for expert, not for missionary, for experts to teach church music, to teach hermeneutica. Well, when I got there, what is hermeneutica? This is a science. Just make it sound intellectual, you know, academically highly. This is a science, but it is actually means how to study the Bible. Yeah, but it's a science of reading the, you know, the documents. Yeah. So we got missionaries, keep getting missionaries. So if you want to come, we'll find a way. We'll work out the visa. Okay? Don't worry. Because this is a national program. The government wants the program to flourish. And, but you're going to work with me if you go as a missionary. Well, it just meant that, you know, I'm responsible for you. I'm not the kind of boss. We want to do it together, proclaiming together. I think we are family of God, so we need to pray together. Pray for missionaries from Canada. But please pick up also the names of evangelists and missionaries in Africa, in Latin America, in Asia, in Indonesia. Pray for us. We pray for you. You pray for us. Because we are created in the body to pray together. We are created in the body to proclaim together, accomplishing the task of evangelizing the world in our time. Indonesia 111 is reachable. If we do it together, it's not going to be rich. If Indonesian Christian says, we will do it alone. Or we say, you do it for us. Sorry, it's not going to work. It can be accomplished only if we do it together, praying together, proclaiming together, two P's. I have the third P to propose to the church in the West. This third P is not quite popular. In one church, they like to say hallelujah. Not in the United States. I preach and I said, praying together. And you could hear them say, hallelujah, my brother, hallelujah. And then I said, let's proclaiming together. And say, hallelujah, preach on. But when I said my third P, there was quietness. Because it is unpopular P. The first P, praying together. Second P, proclaiming together. And the third P is paying together. In the past, when we think about missionary work, you pay your own and I pay my own. We are family. God has designed his body as such that there are plenty of the product of mission in poor churches. But also, there are resources in the hand of Christians in affluent society. If we only can bridge the gap and begin to pray together and proclaim together and pay together, yes, the world is winnable. Indonesia 111 can be reached with the gospel. $200 a month to support a full-time workers at ETSI. Only 200. I just mentioned that to show to you that it's not expensive. We don't say don't send missionary. We're saying let's do it together. Time has come for us to take our task to declare the good news, but do it strategically based upon biblical principle, family of God. But also I think, besides that, we need to find ways to accelerate the church planting programs, accelerate the evangelism. That is why today at the seminary, I raised frog. You know frog? F-R-O-G, frog. I raised frog because Indonesian people eat frog leg. So we raised frog in order the student may take frogs to the Muslim village, because you just don't go there. In Muslim village, you don't go there and gather people and preach to them. You'll be killed. Raise frog. Raise ducks. 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 D-U-C-K, duck. And because the egg of ducks, Indonesian, they salted the duck, the egg, and they dried it, and you eat it dry. So the student, we raise goat, G-O-A-T. We raise rabbit, snail, chicken. Why? Because this is difficult to be rich with the gospel. Yes, we know that. But our God is alive, so let us move on strategically, creatively, find ways to accelerate the evangelization of the nation. And Lord has given us a new idea.
an idea that will help to accelerate the gospel planting churches in Indonesia. It is through music. Amazing. Muslims don't like preachers, but they like Christian gospel singers. Amazing. I mean, they know when I'm speaking, and they, you know, they turn on the ears, because even though I give a long illustration and maybe 5-minute gospel at the end, before I came to the gospel, they stop it because they know. Long behold, even though I kept going, and I didn't touch the gospel, they knew that I'm going to present the gospel. So they, no, I mean, they cut me off. But when they listen to gospel singers, like the choir, like the bamboo instrument, they're stunned from beginning to end. So we pick up, this is a way. And 4 years ago, by faith, we started the School of Church Music at the seminary. The idea is to take all these music instruments, native music instruments, and chain them, or baptize them, or you call it, or Christianize them, or whatever, and use them as means to present the gospel. You know, Muslims, they buy our Christian cassette tapes. They listen to them. And you pass by the Muslim houses on Christmas, you could hear beaming from the houses Christmas songs, including I'm Dreaming of the White Christmas, including those ones. So we see, we have found a means now, and we want to make use of that. And we ask Partner International to help us to share this with God's people, so you can help assist us, you know, to have classrooms, to have a hall and some facilities to run the program. We have 41 students in the program there, and many more will come if we have the facilities. But we have one goal only: music for the sake of Indonesia. One. Everything we get all of, we direct that toward one. So if you feel God's leading in your heart, help us to get our facilities, to build our facilities. Let me read to you one more verse from 2 Timothy 1:12, and then I close. In Indonesia, they call me chief because I'm chairman of many things, including Indonesian Evangelical Fellowship, 46 denominations in that fellowship. And they call me chief. But when in Indonesia, when the chief is speaking, nobody is allowed to move. No, what I'm saying is I'm going to end in a short while. So give me some more attention. I know it's long now. It's longer. I've been speaking longer. But could I ask permission to have some more minutes? And I want to read to you verse 12. Paul says in verse 11, I was appointed preacher of the gospel. In verse 12, he says, for this reason, for this gospel, for this calling, for this appointment, I also suffer these things. I think the church is called to declare the good news, but the church is called also to suffer for the sake of the good news, for the sake of spreading the gospel. That means if it calls for us to do sacrificingly for the cause, we have no other option. We have to do it because this is trust, a trust that God has given to us. We are called to declare the good news, but we are called also to suffer for the sake of the spreading of the good news. I studied in North America 7 years, and I praise God because I came to know the Church of Jesus Christ in North America. I praise God because there is a part of the body, the Church of Jesus Christ in North America, living in a blessed society. You are blessed. You don't have to suffer when you carry the Bible to the church. But in some villages in Indonesia, when they saw us carry the Bible to church, they will mock us and even persecute us. We live under suffering and difficulties, but we praise God that there is a part of the body of Christ which is blessed. So blessed. Well, you suffer a little here and there, I know. Like when I was in Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys team was winning the championship. They were winning. And my son and I, we are sold out to Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he literally cried if they lost. And they were winning, so there was a time when championship was playing on Sunday morning. And my good Christian friends, they suffer because they struggle. See, they struggle between going to church on Sunday morning or staying at home and watching the game. This is not the kind of suffering that our Lord is talking about. He's talking about a willingness to go all the way, a willingness to take time, a willingness to do sacrifice if needed to. Even it may cost our very life, a willingness to go all the way for the sake of the gospel. And you are blessed. You don't have to suffer to follow Jesus here. Don't feel guilty because you are blessed. It is God who decided to bless you. Rejoice. Be grateful. But remember, just remember, that you are blessed for a purpose. That through you, the world may be blessed. I don't have to feel pity because I live in the midst of suffering society. Our life is in danger every day. Persecution is there in front of us. Suffering and difficulties, lack of resources, food and so on, are common experience by the brothers and sisters who carry the gospel in my country. But I tell them, don't feel pity because you are living in such a condition. You are put there by God for a purpose. So through us, our people may be blessed. But it is proper for us to come to you and say, brother and sister in Christ, we are called also to do sacrifice for the cause of the gospel. You are blessed. But would it be possible for you, brother like us, to come to you and say, Please be faithful because you are blessed. Let's pray. Dear God, we are thankful that we have family, big family. So even though in the midst of suffering and difficulties, we remember that we have been there in their midst. We know them, they know us. And we come unto the throne of grace before you, asking that you will keep us together to dream of evangelizing our world in our lifetime, including the fifth largest nation in the world, Indonesia. I thank you, Father, for the blessing that you have given to your people, my people, your people, my family, in this part of the world. But I beg you, Father, to let them realize the fact that they are blessed for a purpose, that through them the world may be blessed. And please, Father, strengthen them to be faithful. I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.